broadcasting live from our Fort Recovery Radio studios located in downtown historic Fort Recovery. You're listening to Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee, which is powered by Wayne Street Market in historic Fort Recovery. Without further ado, here's your host and co-host, Mr. Bob Stogler and Mr. Harold Feely on Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee.
Hey, good evening, folks. 8:20 Wednesday night. Sports Talk, Bubba Fee, my good friend Harold Feely. How you doing, Fee?
Good, Bobby.
How was your weekend?
Good weekend.
Nice
weekend.
Holiday weekend. Long one. Fun.
Yeah, fun one.
I always liked Labor Day.
Labor Day is good.
I miss the Jerry Lewis telethon because I watched that all the time.
I used to watch that too. Huh? It's always awesome.
Walk on, Neil.
Yeah.
Walk on.
Get a little crying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Every year.
Every year.
Yeah, when the firemen would give their final donation, bawled every time. It was unbelievable.
Yep. It was awesome.
Yeah. And tonight we are joined by the head volleyball coach at Fort Recovery High School, Travis Guggenbiller. Mr. Guggenbiller, how are you?
Good.
We are...
Great start.
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh?
Very good start.
How about that?
Unbelievable. And the Indians with a nice win last night over the Salina Bulldogs. And we're going to talk with Travis right after this. Sports Talk presented by...
the Wayne IGA.
It's summer, and that means lots of cookouts, and Wayne IGA has everything you need. They have great prices on their nicely trimmed steak, ready to go in their grab-and-go meat case. T-bones and New York strips are $7.99 a pound. Angus ribeyes are only $9.99 a pound. Boneless skinless chicken breasts are just $2.99 a pound. Boneless pork chops are $3.49 a pound, and their ground chuck is $4.29 a pound, bulk or patties. While you're there getting your grilling supplies, be sure to grab everything that goes with your cookout. Fresh vegetables, potato salad, macaroni salad, chips and dips, and how about a veggie or meat and cheese tray? And be sure to check out their large selection of wine and beer. Make Wayne IGA your headquarters for all your cookouts this year.
This is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. As a coach myself, certain small things completed the right way are the ripple in the pond that many times leads to a tidal wave of success in your operation. Trust me, there's a big difference between a pass or a toss at your feet as opposed to one that hits you right in the numbers. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental thing. 419-852-4049.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
The Fort Recovery American Legion will be conducting a community blood drive on Monday, September 18th from 3 to 7 p.m. All the blood donations will stay here locally, and everyone who registers and donates blood will receive a long-sleeve quarter-zip shirt. Walk-ins are welcome, but appointments are preferred, and you can schedule your appointment by going to donortime.com and use the sponsor code 1830. There's always a need for blood, and all donations through the Community Blood Center stay in the local area. Schedule your appointment now at donortime.com, sponsor code 1830, to donate blood on Monday, September 18th at the American Legion. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our Lady Indians face another tough MAC team as they host for Sales. We'll simulcast WPGW's coverage of that match, which can also be heard on the NFHS video. On Friday, the Indians football team will host the Minster Wildcats. Fort Recovery Radio's broadcast team will bring you all the action live, and it'll also be heard on the NFHS video. Our pregame show will start at 6:40. Get out to all the games you can this week to support our Indians teams, but if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee. Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee. Bubba and Fee.
Well, I don't know why that...
All right, we're back here with Travis Goomber, head coach of the undefeated Lady Indians volleyball team. And Travis, let's go back to the preseason. Let's go back to the summer.
You
had some returning starters. You lost a couple really good hitters.
Yep.
But we had some pretty good expectations.
Yeah, going into the summer, I was returning quite a few girls. I have 7 seniors and 4 juniors on the team this year. So I knew going in that we had some experience come along. And so that was exciting about this summer.
And good. We're kind of a little bit under the radar.
You know, we are actually under the radar. I remember this summer we were at the New Bremen Invite, and we got runner-up there. And one of the head coaches from, I won't say where, but from the MAC, saying, you know, oh, the top teams of the MAC this year are going to be St. Henry, New Bremen, and Coldwater. And I made sure the girls knew.
Yeah.
And so they're taking that a little bit as fuel. We like being kind of under the radar.
Sure.
What do we have to lose?
Right,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean? Pressure-wise, it's not there. So we're just taking it one game at a time. And the girls are doing exactly what I would like to see. So I'm very proud.
We have the perfect schedule. Because
we do.
We start out with some good volleyball teams,
mm-hmm.
beatable volleyball
mm-hmm.
teams. And as we got our confidence,
mm-hmm.
we probably played our best match of the year last night.
Holly and I kind of worked on that schedule this last year. I told her, I said, I think we had 7 Saturdays in a row of games, and I said, we got to get rid of all the Saturdays.
Yeah,
you know, we're together 6 days a week, and those girls need some rest. And I wanted to change some things. We used to go to the St. Henry Invite, and there were some times we were seeing St. Henry 3 to 4 times in the same season. Because,
yeah.
you know, you have them at the Invite, you have them at the home game, they go to the Crestview Invite, and because of the way the Northwest District Athletic Board, and I'll say it out loud, they don't know what they're doing up
sure.
there. I hope they hear this because they don't know what they're doing up there from doing scheduling for tournaments for Division 3 and 4. And so we face St. Henry again, you know. So it'll be interesting to see again how this year's tournament goes because, again, all those MAC teams are on the top again, and they're going to have to face each other against districts. So I'm being very, very vocalized this year about the Northwest Sticker Board when we're the only conference or the only district in the whole state of Ohio who does not do a true super sectional.
Yeah,
we always talked about that you know, you're taking out 2 or 3 or 4 of some of the best teams in the state.
State needs to be best of the best, and when we have teams going down and we're winning in regionals from our districts, they're winning in regionals in 3, and it's out of 12 or 15 points, that's all the other teams. We're not playing the best of the best.
Exactly. I agree with you, buddy.
You got so the season starts out, and let's talk about the New Bremen Invite before the season started. So that is the creme de la creme, really, of the
19 teams there.
19 teams, and I talked to a couple parents that had kids at Coldwater and St. Henry, and you know the teams that were there, New Bremen, of course, mm-hmm. with Diana Webker, and one of the guys who I play golf with has a granddaughter on both, like 3 of them out there. And he said he could not believe how good Fort Recovery played.
Yeah.
He said, you know, and we talk about being on the radar, and that's exactly right. Everybody's looking at Coldwater, everybody's looking mm-hmm. at Center, everybody's looking at Bremen. Mm-hmm. And they should, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about the best teams in the state of Ohio.
Yeah, yeah. Going into that New Bremen Invite, that was the first day that I actually had my entire team all summer between vacations and stuff. We had girls in and out. That was the first time I actually had my entire team, and then I was just kind of playing with the lineup a little bit, just trying to see. I had a couple girls. I was trying to figure out where I wanted them, and I just kept rotating them the whole, because you play everyone.
Yeah.
So my middles were all rotating, my DSs were rotating, just kind of getting a feel of what I wanted. And I was able to kind of get a solid lineup to start off with, and we made some tweaks throughout the season here. But, it was nice to see that. Those girls, we've been working really, really hard this summer talking about our mentality and the mental health part of the game. You know, so much of the game, you train the muscle memory of the skill work,
mm-hmm.
but your brain is also muscle, and we don't train it the way we should.
Yeah.
So that was something I think I focused more on this summer, and I think that's part of the reason why we're seeing the growth we are seeing, because if you watch, we've been in a lot of tight games this year.
Yeah.
and we've been down and we're coming back and winning them. So yeah, we're starting to now change that a little bit where we're taking the lead and we're kind of finishing in the lead. So like in the Salina game, you know, like we had two sets where we took charge and we finished it and we were, so those are things that I'm liking to see on my team as the year goes on.
Oh, absolutely.
And it kind of, this is your fourth year as a head coach.
Yeah.
And do you feel like as, you know, as you get more and more experience and you get more and more to knowing these girls, that plays a big part in the confidence level?
100%. I take full responsibility over the last two seasons. You know, I mean, we've had success in our program, but, you know, maybe the record-wise doesn't show. And I've been kind of reflecting a lot back on what are we missing. You know, last year we had a good year. If you look at the overall scores, we were averaging over 20 points every single set, but we only won 8 games. So if you're averaging over 20, that means you're in every game. So I was trying to figure out what are we missing. And I think it was more in the mental health end of things. You know, I didn't know exactly how to go about helping those kids through that. I was kind of old school. It's like suck it up and move on. But you know, that's kind of not the way it is sometimes.
Yeah.
So if you can help them find that confidence and how to handle that adversity, they're going to be able to achieve great things. And I think that's one of the great things that we've seen this year.
And volleyball seems to be one of those sports where momentum is huge. You get somebody gets 2 or 3 points in a row, and the other team is starting to doubt themselves a little bit. And then if they break that and they get 4 or 5 in a row, the other team is, you know, it just seems like huge momentum swings during the course of just a single set, much less the whole match.
Yeah, 100%. I think volleyball of any sport may be one of the most, when it comes to momentum, has the biggest impact in any, you know, in the game. Yeah. It's amazing how you can go one set and win 25-18 and then get beat the next set. You know, Marion Local played St. Salina and won in 5 sets, but they had a set they lost 25-8, you know?
So,
and as you're sitting there thinking, come on, no like, you know, so it's definitely a game of momentum. So, I think a lot of things that we've done this summer, the girls have confidence, they're having fun. You know, that's the one thing I like. I think of just about every single game we've had this year, I've had a coach or someone at the game come up to me and they're like, your girls just look like they're having fun this year. And boy, so those are, that right there, you know, means that more than anything. Big, when you hear those kind of compliments, you're like, man, they don't. I had one coach, they're like, does anyone on your team get mad at each other? Because when it was the, you know, St. Mary's game, she's like, those girls just never let anything fluster them. Yep. They just stay poised and confident. And so I think we've controlled every game this year. Every set that we've lost, I think we controlled that. We chose, you know, we're making challenges. We're challenging ourselves. We're making risks. And so, yeah, I think we're doing some good things and we're facing adversity and we're adapting well.
I think the 4 years you've been here now, I think the kids probably kind of know what you want. You know, this is the way I coach. You know, this is the way you got to do things, and it's working.
Yeah, you know, and I give a lot of credit to all my coaches that I've had help me with it. You know, Tiffany Garkey, as my varsity assistant, has given me a lot of, you know, guidance and the knowledge of the game itself. Obviously, someone that knows the game very well. And I cannot thank Mandy Diller enough. You know, she's coming from having someone that was a head coach at another school for many years as my JV coach, and someone that's had a daughter go through the program from both ends, you know, being able to make those tough decisions for those kids, but also now having a daughter that had to go through that, and then as a parent being able to see what that end of things looks like. So having someone like that on the bench has been very, very valuable in my coaching experience to help me handle those situations, so that it is what's best for the athlete and they understand what's going on.
Well, as far as our staff goes, I would take our staff over anybody. You think about who we have, and we got some good volleyball minds in there.
We do. I'm good super. Like, my junior high is doing a really nice job. They're pushing the kids a lot, and I know our record isn't there, but, you know, I talked to seventh graders. I'm like, hey, how's your game? Coach, we were in every single set. We lost in 2, but it was, you know, 25-27. Like, they're super excited, and, you know, they're sending me messages. The coaches are saying, hey, you got any drills here, or, you know, things like that. You know, hey, where are these located at in the gym? Because we want to work on this skill with them. So it's nice to see those things.
Who are the junior high coaches?
So in 8th grade is Julie Krieg. Mm-hmm. And then my 7th grade is Carly, this was a Stone, not Carly Greaseup. Kaya Wendell, who married Chase Bruns.
Chase Bruns.
Having three people down there has been very valuable at teaching that skill work that we need, because level you really need to develop the skill itself.
And not only that, they're they're great kids who get it.
Yep.
You know,
it's a knowledge game.
Exactly. Yep. And they all played. And yeah, that's...
And at that junior high level, the wins and losses don't mean anything.
No, you know, I mean...
You got to get that winning attitude, but yet...
At the seventh grade especially, you really want to focus a lot on that skill work. It's got to get under control. And you'll notice in the MAC, it's starting to get brought down lower and lower. And then in junior high, that's more about getting that winning mentality. And we're kind of in that middle yet on that end of things. But, you know, seventh grade, you really want to develop that skill work. And then in eighth grade, you want to take that to the next level and help those girls now figure out how do you take that and win with it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of, it's a hard position to coach because you want to get everyone that opportunity because everyone matures at different levels. But you also have to get these girls to believe in themselves that they can win. And they it's a battle that they face day in and day out.
You had... We got a big one tomorrow night. Versailles at home. Get up there and root these guys on.
They are fun to watch.
We have a tremendous student body.
Our student section is
tremendous.
Awesome.
I couldn't believe how good they were.
Yeah, when that football team shows up,
and then we got
look out.
And then we got we had a game last night against Salina, and we're gonna change the tone here a little bit. But there was a lot of pictures of both teams with the pink ribbons and over for that little jersey puff. Is their name?
Yeah, I believe so.
And what a terrible thing! Yeah. And you know, to see the volleyball communities rally is something that.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, that was, you know, it's one of those things being a parent yourself. I cannot imagine what they're going through, nor do I ever want to have to imagine something like that.
No.
And so it was neat to see, you know, I had some of my seniors get the pink ribbon. They put that in the hair for everybody, made sure. And then it was nice. I give credit to Salina, making sure we got a team picture at the very end. And they did. And it turned out well. But yeah, you know, it's actually really what's amazing. And as being coaching in the MAC and in the Mercer County near WBL, how close actually all the coaches really are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good communication between us. I mean, there's a lot of conversations. We got each other's cell phone numbers. We help each other out maybe when tournament or sharing video or films with each other, and it is kind of like a family outside of your family in a way. And I wouldn't want anything else on that end of things.
And that's what's great about our conference.
It really
I'm
is.
Sure other conferences do it too, but it's just something about this MAC and the coaches, and they just get it.
They do.
And it's just like getting it is. But like our kids talk about adversity and stuff like that, and all these kids were close to Mr. Bruins, and it made a hell of a hell of an impact on these young kids. And when you talk about they don't yell at each other, they're thinking there's a hell of a lot of things worse in life than playing this damn game of volleyball. We're going to have fun, and just like you preach.
Yeah, you know, so that's the thing. You know, going through the loss of Joe Bruins, you know, that was a kind of a rough day in the school system, and the girls, you know, going into practice, I was like, you know, we had Brendan Danker from Miami University come out 4 days this summer, who's a sports psychologist, to talk about the mental health and how do you handle adversities and things that you face. And on day two, he talked about, you know, the four P's, and one of those P's is, what's your purpose? What are you playing for? And on that day, we just talked, we kind of bring him up now throughout season and saying, you know, what are we playing for? You know, Joe's a guy who loves the game, no matter what sport he is, a sports fan.
Yes.
And I said, our purpose today is to practice for Joe, play for Joe. And the girls had a great practice, you know. So we've just been using those things to help us get through any of those challenges that you may face and growing with it, you know. Yeah. So,
and you know what? We can do that as we get older.
100%.
Our lives.
Everything that we're doing can be applied outside the volleyball world.
Amen, brother.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about your team. You got seven seniors,
seven juniors.
You want to talk about your seniors?
Yeah, so my seniors are, I'm going to be put on the spot without a list. I have Tegan Forkamp, Mara Pearson. Both of those are playing outside for me. My middles this year have been Paige Guggenmiller and Sage Luthel. And then my DSs are Callie Wendell playing the libero job, and then Megan Evers and Kenzie Garkey have been playing the DS spot in the back row. And then my four juniors are DS Neve Leonards, my setter Kayla Heidkamp, and then my right side / setter Kennedy Mullenkamp, and then pulled on the right side would be Carly Niekamp.
And when I'm a volleyball expert, been a couple games. Kennedy Mollenkamp can flat out play the game of volleyball.
100%. You know, we talked a lot this year. You know, Kennedy's a very soft-hearted player, and so I finally started to figure out how to coach her and a lot of things, and she's blossomed so much this year. And what's neat to see is how she's taken it and growing with it. You know, being someone that's been with her in the gym now 3 years, it's amazing. The number of people actually have came up to me, like, I'm glad you brought it up, but the number of people are like, man, her confidence this year, it's unbelievable.
Stepped up.
And, I mean, I told her this summer, I said, you're the person that really can just take us to a whole new level. Not that she's going to be the reason why we ever win or lose.
Absolutely.
I don't mean it that way, but she has the ability to put a team away herself because she can reach so high, she can swing on that right side, and that right side can be very hard to defend.
Yep.
You know, so, yeah, it's neat to see her grow. She's facing a little adversity because now I threw her in that setting role, so she's got a lot of jobs that she's doing. She's figuring it out. She's holding her own. You know, like in the Salina game, she was comes off that floor and is like, am I hitting? My hitting's not good. My hitting's not good. And I told her, I was like, it's fine. You're doing everything I need from you. Like, we have to get rid of that mindset and move on to the next play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she ended up getting 3 kills right. Literally, I think within the next 5 balls, she got 3 of the kills.
Yeah.
And so then, it was neat to see.
And then Tegan and Mara.
Yeah, you know, they're holding. Tegan and Mara are not people I would want to be defensively on the other side of. Especially Tegan. She's got one of the fastest arm swings out there right now. And Mara can just out jump anybody in the gym, you know. And so those are some things we're working on. We're working on with Tegan with that fast arm speed. What can we do with the set to make it even harder for the blockers? And Mara, her swing isn't nearly as fast as Tegan's, but she has the ability to just out jump everybody. So we're working on getting that arm swing where she gets up much higher, so then she can just place the ball wherever she wants. Because I mean, she has the ability, if she can get that arm swing down, she's gonna jump and just hit the ball at the 10-foot line day in and day out.
And in the paper today, Salinas coach talked about defensively how well we played.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I said this year we have to get better as we have to get better with our ball control. We have to focus a lot more on our defense and make everybody do it. And that's an area that we have put time in and day out. We are working on our defense, and my defense has been making some big plays, and we're doing it now. So I can't wait to see those. It keep even getting bigger and bigger and bigger as the season goes on. Because you know, one of the girls must have told my JV coach was telling me today that one of the girls told Mandy, she's like, man, I'll be honest, coach, I think Salinas is more tired than what we are. What you're doing in practice, this sucks. But it's working. And so, you know, like, honestly, the first half hour of practice, there's no one that's going to walk in the gym and say, that's fun. It's miserable. We are pushing them hard. But, man, those girls are taking it to the next level, and they want to do better. Like, they have that mindset of, I want to get better. And that is why our defense is where it is right now.
Yeah. Winning's all about hard work.
It is 100%. If you want to be the top of the elite team, you have to put in the hard work. Otherwise, if you want to just play and have fun, granted, we talk about having fun, but, you know, these girls want to have fun and win. Well, guess what? It requires hard work, and then that hard work will relay into having fun. But if you want to just have fun and only do fun, you're not going to have you're going to be below 500.
Yeah. Now, that 85 degree room that they played in,
it was
last
hot
night,
yesterday.
But, you know, Celine does that all the time. And like your girls said, they were tired or more tired than we were.
Yeah.
And they're I guess you can say
I was a little worried about it, you know, because, you know, like they say, well, that's what was back in the day. Yes, I agree, but you used to practice in that back in the day, you know. So my girls, I was a little worried. I was like, all right, how are we going to handle this? We have the sweatiest team in the area, hands down. I tell them that all the time. So before we met, I went to Dollar General, bought 4 towels because I knew going in we're going to be mopping that floor the whole time out there. The girls did a great job. They don't, we make them sweat so much in school. Or in practice, I mean, that I just think they're used to the sweating part. That wasn't bothering them.
Bring it on.
Yeah, I love it. That's just that's great.
Yeah, they were really good. And I remember several times, I think when even the other team got a point, that they'd be up there giggling and laughing.
Yeah.
They have fun,
fun. They're staying poised and under control.
Even when they're not, even when it wasn't them that made a great play, of course, you're pretty happy about that. But several times I looked up and they're telling stories and laughing and having a good time.
Yep.
And, they didn't get that point a couple of times.
We would be remiss if we didn't talk about your JV team.
Yeah.
Who's played some unbelievably tight ball games.
Yeah.
Undefeated, too.
They're undefeated as well. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, RJV is doing a really, really nice job this year. They came in, you know, they're, if they, they looked at their junior high record too much and thought, oh, we're going to just be subpar. But super athletic teams.
Yeah.
If you look at our JV, we may have one of the tallest JV teams that's even taller than some of the varsity teams that we face. And they're so young. You know, every one of them is a freshman. They're playing roles. You know, they're more positionized this year, playing roles that maybe they weren't in the previous years, and learning the game. Man, are they learning the game? They are learning a lot this year. I'll tell you right now, when you walk in, and I think that's any program in this area, if you walk in as a freshman, that first year can be very overwhelming with a lot. And those girls are just doing a great job. And Coach Diller is, you know, doing a fantastic job with them.
They do not play like freshmen.
No.
Not even the first
I told Mandy, I said, you have one of the most important jobs because I lose seven seniors next year. We don't have a single sophomore in the whole program.
Guess what?
Those freshmen are going to be playing varsity next year as sophomores. So we got to get them ready.
Yep, that's right. I appreciate you stopping up. I know you get the road rats at home. And how's everybody doing?
Doing well. I would say maybe one of them's in bed. The other two are probably not.
Waiting on dad.
Yep.
Bedtime stories.
Yeah. Well,
good luck tomorrow night.
Hey, thank you.
And keep it up. Stop back up here.
Will do.
All right.
Keep it up.
Yep. Ladies, that is Travis Guggenbiller, head coach of your Lady Indians volleyball. We're going to go back. We're going to talk with Steve Hellwagon. Talk about the Buckeyes right for this sports talk presented by the Wayne IGA.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canoe from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Building the future starts with the right tools. That's why you should ask us at K&L about the hardworking, dependable constructed equipment from New Holland, including skid steer loaders, compact track loaders, loader backhoes, tractor loaders, compact excavators, and compact wheel loaders. Every New Holland model offers clean, responsive power, built-in comfort and versatility that helps you master any job, any challenge, anytime. Learn more. Stop by K&L Tractor in Fort Recovery today.
It's all fun and games until someone bangs into a tree or a dock. Hi, I'm Gavin Tobe with Fort Recovery Insurance. Sport utility vehicles, motorcycles, boats, and jet skis are loads of fun, and fun is all that is on your mind when you purchase one. But we both know that accidents can happen. Go ahead, get out there, have fun, but with the confidence that I've got your back. I'm Gavin Tobe at FortRecoveryInsurance.com.
Harold Peely, owner of Hastings Auto Sales and Service in Ford Recovery. Ball is in the air, time for football, pumpkins, and getting your vehicle ready for cooler weather. Your maintenance appointments will include testing your battery and checking all fluid levels. We also check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all lights. Give us a call here at Hastings Auto Sales at 419-375-4617 for all your automotive needs.
Assure, the local area suicide awareness group, will be having their annual suicide awareness community walk at the Mercer County Fairgrounds on Saturday morning, September 9th, from 8:30 to 11 a.m. If you'd like to be part of this great cause, all you need to do is stop by the fairgrounds that day and register. Get your pledges lined up ahead of time and walk as far and as long as you want, and you can start any time from 9 to 11. Find details at assuremc.org. All proceeds from the walk will be used to promote suicide prevention and awareness and to support local suicide support and services in our communities and schools. So if you want to help out a great cause and get a little exercise in the process, head out to the Mercer County Fairgrounds on Saturday morning, September 9th, from 8:30 to 11 a.m. and join the Suicide Awareness Community Walk presented by Assure, the area suicide support resources.
St. Joseph Parish celebrates their 40th annual Homecoming Festival this year on September 8th through 10th. This year's events are highlighted by St. Joe's largest cornhole tournament on Friday night, a professional fireworks show, and the return of DJs Slick and RJ on Saturday night, and music by Natalie Eulenhake on Sunday. Kitty tractor pulls, horseshoe tournaments, raffle drawings, games and food and fun will be had by all. It all happens on the grounds of St. Joe Church outside of Fort Recovery September 8th, 9th, and 10th. Check the St. Joe Homecoming Festival Facebook page or the church bulletin for all of the details.
Sports Talk, Bubba and B.
All right, welcome back to Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee, and we are joined on the Hastings hotline by Mr. Steve Hellwagon. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, guys. What's going on?
Well, it's a home opener. The Buckeyes have the Youngstown State. What are the Youngstown?
Penguins.
The Penguins. That's
the
right.
Penguins. Yeah.
So Jim Tressel University. And
that's it.
Yep. And the first time that we ain't played a FCS team for a while, correct?
Yeah, I think Florida A&M back in 2013 might be the last one, and before that twice with Youngstown State in 2007 and 2008. So yeah, it's a rarity, and the only reason it came up is because they were supposed to play Washington. But last year when the Big Ten added USC and UCLA, they were fearing that OSU would maybe have to go to Washington next year and also have to go to USC or UCLA. Mm. And they didn't want to be on the hook to have to go out there twice in the same year, so they canceled the series altogether. Now, ironically, Washington's joining as well. And, you know, my guess is with four schools out there, there's going to be a year where you may have to go out there twice. So,
yeah, you're exactly right.
Who knows?
Yeah, that's right. So the opener at IU, and you know, watching it on TV, and you was there, I'm sure. But it just seemed like it was kind of a blah game. And I'll take a 20-point victory in a Big Ten road game.
Yep.
But it was kind of a blah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, I mean, it went a little bit differently, I think, than everybody expected. And what we've seen out of Ohio State, the defense has struggled the last several years. They played lights out. Mm. The offense has been among the best in the country and certainly in the Big Ten. And they didn't play very well. And it was just bad execution. The offensive line didn't play very well. The quarterback struggled at times to find his receivers. The play calling at times wasn't good. The run blocking was terrible. So they have to get back to the drawing board. You know, this week, obviously a lesser opponent with Youngstown sure. State coming in, but got a couple games to get it figured out before they have to go up and play Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So my daughter, who works in Richmond at the hospital, well, she happens to have an insight where they're with Tom Allen's dad, and he was telling her, "You Buckeyes better watch out." He says, "We got a pretty good team this year." And you know what? We tend to offensively, they really struggle, but defensively, they're pretty good.
Yeah, I think Indiana offensively is going to have a tough time this year trying to light up the scoreboard, but I do like their defense. A couple of the guys, Andre Carter was really good, and then the linebacker 44.
Was good, yeah.
Yeah, he was fabulous too. So they got a couple pretty good players, and you know, they're going to hold teams down, it seems like, maybe hold some teams in the 20s, and if they can score a few points, then maybe they'll sneak through and win a couple games, but, you know, I just have a hard time believing that's going to happen. I mean, it's just their offense, just they didn't get anything accomplished. So, Ohio State, again, as I said, much different than what we've been accustomed to offensively, to average 43, 44 points a game under Ryan Day, and to come back with just 23, that's not good. So,
we're kind of spoiled fans. I think we're kind of getting spoiled fans because we're just used to, you know, we're jumping out there, like you said, and getting 35, 40 points all the time. But, you know, I found myself getting mad, and then I started thinking, it's a first game. You gotta relax, give them a chance. They'll be fine. You know, we like you said, a couple more games under our belts. Hopefully we'll be good to go, ready to go to Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think offensively, the offensive line is going to have a lot to improve off of that game. I think the coaches will take that and work on the things. You know, it seemed like there was miscommunication over who was blocking who.
Yeah.
And then just flat out got beat man on man. I think the pass blocking was fine. They didn't give up a sack. And McCord had time to deliver the ball at times. When he was pressured, he showed some pretty good pocket presence to step up and get out of the way and get the ball out. But, you know, the offensive line's got to play better. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. And particularly in the run game, they ran 31 times in this game, and on 10 of those occasions, one-third of the time, basically, they either got no gain or a negative play. And, you know, that's one-third of the time you accomplish nothing with the run game, not even a yard.
Yeah.
So that can't happen.
No.
So they got to get that figured out.
Especially with those running backs. I mean, I love them, and I think that, you know, we just got to give them that first hole, and they'll do the rest of it.
yeah, I think Chip Trayanum in the second half kind of put this team on his back and really carried him down the field a couple times on some scoring drives. And he ran with some authority. He's also got the speed to run away from people at times. And he's got the ability that if it's not blocked 100% perfectly, that he can make something out of nothing. And I think that was why the coaches stuck with him. And I found it interesting. He did all the hard work to get it down there inside the 10-yard line. Then they moved him to fullback and put Mayan Williams in the game and let Mayan carry the last 5-6 yards into the end zone, and he did a good job with that. But
yeah.
Henderson early in the game, I mean, you get him in open field, he can make some big plays happen, but the issue is you know, they didn't block, you know, very well for him. He was getting hit in the backfield. So, you know, he's not going to get anything on that. So, you gotta do better in terms of the run block.
Yeah, I worry about that a little bit because of the three backs and you know, they all want the ball. And then I wonder, you know, you hope that as this season goes on, because I agree with you, they're going to have some tough calls to make there with them three. Who gets all the carries?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Then you got Dallin Hayden, who had some good games last year.
He did.
He barely got in for the mop-up time there at the end. And, you know, he's another guy that deserves to play as well. So it is a difficult situation for good running backs and a good situation to have, I'd say, to have some depth. But, you know, you got to sort through it. Again, the bottom line's got to look better than it did. They didn't even average 5 yards a carry. I think they were under 5 yards, and that's just unlike what Ohio State normally does.
Yeah. Your assessment of Kyle McCord?
Well, you know, third-year player, doesn't have a lot of game experience, and that showed, I think, at times. I think he was off on some of his reads. I think he put the ball in there a few times, had a few passes deflected and dropped, flat out dropped a couple times. You know, I think people would think a lot differently about the way that he played if, let's say, the touchdown pass to Marvin Harrison had been counted instead of a penalty for Harrison stepping out of bounds. You know, that makes, you know, so much different appearance for his day. And he also had a running play where he cut the wrong way and ran into the tackler on the quarterback draw.
Yeah, they broke that down.
The other way. Yeah.
Oh, hey, man.
He goes the other way off the block. That's a touchdown.
Touchdown.
Yeah, no doubt. You guys do a hell of a job breaking down the film afterwards, and I enjoy that on Twitter, you and the other, I think, is it Biddle do that?
It's become a cottage industry, no doubt, for everybody to take the video and break it down into forensic, you know, frame by frame and everything. The difficulty is you just don't know what the play call is. And you don't know what each guy's assignment is on the play. You know, he had some bad breaks. On the fourth down play, Trayanum looked like the primary receiver coming out of the backfield, and he collided with a defender and went down. And so that kind of left McCord. He's either going to have to run for it, or he tried to gun it into Stover and the ball got intercepted. And, you know, that's really not a bad play by him. There was nothing there for him when the primary receiver fell down. So that was, you know, a bad break for him. Tate had a ball that went off his hands at the 5-yard line, the freshman. And that would have been nice if he'd been able to pull that one in. So, you know, if this is a 33-3 game and he's got a touchdown running and a touchdown throwing or whatever, then you come away from this and you say, man, they got some stuff accomplished. Instead, you come away with it, man, they left a lot of plays out there. So, you know, what's great is that he and Devin Brown will get an opportunity to play this week and then next week against Western Kentucky and get some mileage on their tread. And we'll see, you know, if they're better for it after the next two games. And then you go up to Notre Dame and take your shot. That's all you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. That is right.
So how about, like, Hartline, Steve? You think a lot of his calls? Is he making him calls on his own, or do you think a lot of that's Ryan Day saying, hey, let's still do this, you know?
Seems like it's still Ryan Day making, you know, most of the in-game decisions. I think that as a group, the coaches are putting together a plan. Whatever the plan was that they had, I wasn't all that excited about the way the game was called. I mean, you had some situations where they just kind of seemed to seize up in the moment, and it just became very predictable at times, in my opinion. And that allowed Indiana to get off the ball and make plays in the backfield and on the running game and different things and tee off on them. And I think that they needed to keep Indiana off balance. I mean, you know, you're coming off the Georgia game where they were very aggressive offensively, and then this game they just seemed just so tentative, and that people didn't know what they should be doing, and it just was a D plus C minus type offensive day. It just didn't happen for them across the board. So you know, a lot of room to improve, no doubt,
for sure. We turn our attention to Youngstown State. You look at this team, and you hit it exactly right. We're going to, you know, have a couple blowout wins here, we hope, and get ready for Notre Dame. And I think, you know, as you know, Ryan Day says, you know, we got to get Devin Brown some more snaps, and I think that Kyle McCord is our starting quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, I think all things being equal, that's probably the guy that still has the inside track to this. And I think what happened in the second quarter, it's still 7-3. And I think Coach Day realized we can't be running different quarterbacks in there every series trying to find something. We've got to stick, you know, and have some continuity at that position to build something. And eventually they were able to take a two-score lead and got it out to 17-3, 20-3, whatever it was, and you know, eventually 23-3, and you know, Indiana wasn't going to score.
Yeah,
I mean, that was pretty obvious. Yeah. Their offense wasn't going to generate anything, but Ohio State really didn't grab control of this game till late third quarter, early fourth quarter, so I think that's why he made the decision to stick with McCord to try and ride it out with one guy and come back this week, and he says that they are hoping to get Brown more work this week. In a perfect world, they get McCord in the first quarter, Brown in the second quarter, McCord back in the third quarter, and then Brown to finish it off in the fourth quarter. Get them both 35 plays, get them both 15 or 20 throws, and then you've got a body of work for both guys where you can make some type of a rational decision of, you know, this makes most sense, that this is how it ended up. So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's kind of how I look at it.
Yep. So did you get a chance to watch primetime?
You know, we were at the stadium, so I watched kind of the end of it unfold, and it was remarkable the way that game went back and forth. It kind of reminded me of a lot of Texas and Oklahoma games. Yep. Over the years, with the way it just kind of went back and forth and back and forth, and you know, it was great that for Colorado, that's been a long suffering program, that in the end they were able to pull it out. And you know, it kind of does give credence to the way he's coaching and the way he wants to do things, and so you know, we'll see in the how it unfolds. I guess, you know, they go back home, what, to play Nebraska this week, and Nebraska's going to be desperate after what happened, you know, losing at Minnesota. They led the whole way and gave it away at the end, and Nebraska can't score any points.
No.
And Colorado can't stop anybody, and Colorado can score a bunch of points, so I don't know.
It's
going to be an interesting game.
Yeah,
so,
that will be.
Yeah, but he's off to a great start in Colorado, no doubt.
So, you know, we appreciate you taking the time out. I know you're a busy guy. What about our Red Legs?
Well, you know, I think you kind of ride the emotions day in and day out. And August was a difficult month. for them. They kind of gave back, a chance to contend in the division, and now they're just open for the wild card. And, last night was fabulous with the way they came back and won that game. And I know they're down tonight, or at least that was the last I heard, and stranded the bases loaded here an inning or two ago and had a chance to cut into the lead. And, you're playing a bunch of guys, a bunch of rookies. They had a guy made his major league debut starting last night. They somehow won that game. And then you got some rookies out there, Encarnacion, Strain, and De La Cruz, and just a lot of young guys, Steer as well. And, August was tough. Those guys seemed like they hit the wall. And then, you look at a game like last night, and you think, well, those guys have, they've cleared the wall, and now they're gearing up for a big stretch run, you hope. And
it'd
then
be big, yeah.
Tonight you're struggling again. So good news is the opponents aren't going to be as good. You got St. Louis, who's completely out of it, coming up next. And, probably some Pirates games in there and some other people that aren't in the mix here for the playoffs, and got to win those games.
You've got to win every series.
We can just win each series.
Got to win those games.
Absolutely. Yep. Hunter Green starting Sunday, I seen, so that's good.
There you go. Get him back going. Last game was great.
Yep.
And he got sick.
COVID.
So it's just been that kind of year.
I'll tell you what, though, Steve, if they had told us at the beginning of this year that in September we're still in this thing, I'd have took that in a heartbeat.
Oh, heck yes. I'd take it, because it's been years and years since they've been in this type of position and contending and, doing this kind of thing. So it's been fun to watch.
It
has
been.
Looks real good.
Yep. Final question before we let you go. Final score, Browns Bengals. I'm writing these down.
Oh my goodness gracious.
This is big.
I don't even know what the line is. The game's
Bengals by 2.5. It's at Cleveland.
Yeah. That's tough. The Browns have done pretty well. What is it? 3 of the last 4 or something like that against the Bengals, or maybe even longer than that. I'm a big Browns person. I'm going to say Browns like 27-24 in a really good game. And, I don't particularly root for Watson, but I do root for the Browns. So, I'm Burrow, just from getting to know him when he was at Ohio State, he's such a great guy. Everybody knows that. So, with the
he's
Bengals
getting,
don't
he's
play
getting
the
ready
Browns,
to become
I'm,
very rich, too.
Yeah, he is.
I when the Bengals don't play the Browns, I'm okay with the Bengals and Burrow, but got to go with the Brownies at this one, 27-24.
I got the Browns 31-28 fee.
I got us 28-14.
Ooh,
big win.
Ooh,
I like it.
There you go.
Steve Hellwagon, thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks, Steve.
We appreciate you.
Enjoy it.
Always do. And
all right,
hey, you still frequent the Mexican restaurant?
Yeah, we got several places here around town that are popping up, but yeah, we'd like to go there. So,
okay.
Yeah, all good.
We'll take care of you. Thanks a lot, my friend.
All right,
thanks,
buddy.
Steve.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
Yep.
That's Steve Hellwagon from the Buckeye Sports. We're going to take a break. Come right back with my good friend, Mr. Harold. We're going to talk Indian football right after this.
6 years ago, I started on the line just like anybody else. I liked what I did, and I decided I wanted to learn as much as I could.
At Cooper Farms, we know that our team members are the key to our success.
I received a lot of training, and it just developed me into a leader that I am today, and they provided that all for me. I got promoted as supervisor. 2 years after that, I became the manager.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Miracle Lanes is now back open after their summer break. Stop in and see Corey and Jared, bowl a game or two, visit with friends, grab something to eat. And if you're looking to feed the family, what's better than Miracle Lanes Pizza? Also, try one of their subs or other sandwiches, and don't forget about their famous wings. Just call them at 375-4274, then drive through and pick it up. And if you're planning a birthday party or other get-together, call and reserve your day and time for some Lanes. And be sure to get there for their great pizza and wing buffet on Fridays at lunch. Miracle Lanes is open Thursdays at 3, Fridays, Saturday, and Sundays at 11. Call them at 375-4274 to order ahead.
Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery is now hiring in their service and parts departments. Hull Brothers sells and services both farm equipment and lawn and garden equipment. Full-time employees enjoy generous wages, health insurance, paid vacations, 401k contributions, annual bonuses, and more. Since 1896, Hull Brothers has served area farmers with skilled and dedicated employees. Consider joining the Hull Brothers team. Apply today at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery.
There's an event coming up you don't want to miss. The Cancer Association of Mercer County is sponsoring a bowling tournament, and it will be a four-person team, eight-pin, no tap. It will be held at Miracle Lanes on Saturday, September 16th, with sessions at 2, 4, and 6. The cost is $100 per four-person team and includes two games and eight beer tickets per team. There will also be a 50-50 drawing and several raffle items for you to win. Get your team together and sign up now at Miracle Lanes or by calling Tom Ramoklis at 419-852-2987. That's the 8-pin no-tap bowling tournament happening on Saturday, September 16th at Miracle Lanes, benefiting the Cancer Association of Mercer County. Where there is help, there is hope. The Fort Recovery Music Boosters will be hosting their annual all-you-can-eat breakfast on Sunday, September 24th at the Legion from 8:30 to noon. Tickets are available from any high school or junior high band or choir member, or you can get them at the door. The tickets are only $8 each, and kids age 5 and under are free, and carryouts will also be available. You'll get scrambled eggs, sausage, pancakes, fruit, pastries, and a drink. So stop out for breakfast on Sunday morning, September 24th, for the annual Music Boosters All-You-Can-Eat Breakfast from 8:30 to noon at the Legion.
Sports Talk, Bubba and B.
Good friend, Mr. Harold Philly. I want to thank Steve and thank Coach Guggenbill for stopping in on Wednesday night. I know them guys are busy. And
they are. Dude knows a lot about the Buckeyes.
He does. And he's a great guy, and he loves to talk sports. And
yep.
All you got to do is follow him on Twitter, folks. Steve Hellwagon, great follow on Twitter. He's just a sports nut, and he breaks down the Buckeyes, and he's got an insight with Ryan Day, and he's really good. So if you get a chance on Twitter, follow Steve Hellwagon. He's also on Facebook. I got him on Facebook, too. So Indians football go to Coldwater, always a tough assignment heading over to that place, and Indians fall 35-7. A game that we was down 28-9 at half. Hats off to Block and Balin and the Blockburgers, and I know they're having a lot of fun, and the kid's a nice, nice football player, Fee.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a good athlete. Really fun. A lot of fun to watch. He's a great manager of the game. You know, probably he's not going to make a lot of mistakes.
Yep.
He'll move you down the field. You know, and I kind of asked you that. I said, you think he can get us to the big place? You know, and I think he can. I think he can.
Coldwater's got a good team, and they got weapons there. And the Indians, now we got a big one Friday night at home versus the Minster Wildcats. A game be heard right here on Fort Recovery Radio.
Yep.
Fee and Calpe be bringing that to you. Minster comes in off a hard loss to Marion Local, a game that they competed early, and then Marion just dominated
they're going
surprised me. But Minster's got a nice team. Steph is a hell of a quarterback.
Yeah, we struggled with him last year.
Oh, my, yes, I agree.
We struggled in the regular season, and in the playoff game, he just wiped us out.
Yeah, he's an athlete.
He's pretty darn good.
But that game will be Friday night at Fort Recovery, Barrenbury. Mm-hmm. Get up there and watch your Indians, folks. Great weekend. We got some. It is a great sports weekend.
Good weekend.
Yep. Volleyball tomorrow night, football Friday night, St. Joe Festival this weekend, fireworks Saturday night, Indians with a huge game Friday night.
Yep.
And then we got the Browns Bengals. And that ain't counting the Reds.
And the Reds. Yeah. They're hanging in there.
And it's out at St. Joe. They always have the Browns game on and the Bengals game on. It's usually two separate games.
Don't be able to say.
And so they're one group's on one side of the beer stand and the other group's on the other side, and they're hollering and hooting.
Yep. It'll be interesting.
And it's going to be a good one this time with them playing each other. Man, that's going to be something out there at St. Joe on Sunday afternoon.
Once again, we appreciate you guys for listening to us. We'll be back next Wednesday trying to get Coach Niekamp up here.
Yeah.
Sports Talk presented by
the Wayne IGA.
See you next week, folks.
See ya.
Sports Talk with Bubba and Pete, broadcasting live from the Miracle Lane Studios in historic Fort Recovery, Ohio. Brought to you in part by community-minded sponsors and the sports department of this radio station. FortRecoveryRadio.com is the home of the Fort Recovery Indians.